Hi, it's Diane, and it is Tuesday, September 11th. I'm here with a noon group. So far, we have Jennifer and Lauren. Let's start with check-ins and celebrations. Who wants to go first?
What do we do with the check-ins again?
How are things going? So really, the goal is, how have things been going since the last call? And what have you been working on, and how's it been going? And then if there's something in particular you want to celebrate. And so you just, Lauren, you just kind of check in with me, which is that you've been kind of out of pocket from the groups live over the summer, but you've been doing listening to the recordings and participated in the Maggie Ray Summit as well. Is there anything in particular you want to celebrate?
That I'm here today. I'm here, and I want to celebrate that. And over the past couple of months, things have actually been going well. It's gotten a little trickier now that school started, but I was working on a relationship with my son, and I feel like that has definitely improved in a lot of ways.
Remind me how old your son is, Lauren.
He is 17.
17, that's right. Okay. All right, Jennifer, what about you?
Everything's been going okay. My son just keeps making stupid decisions online. That I'm getting tired of checking and then finding. But school, I guess, is going okay. And that's about it.
Well, you sound like this is kind of wearing you thin, and so your ability to kind of even look at what's going well is a little limited today. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to finish a presentation, too, that just got moved.
Got it.
Which is
crazy. Okay. So, so it sounds like he's having a hard time. You said he's making bad choices online, and so I'm gonna challenge you to reframe it in the context of his executive function challenge. So which executive function challenge is getting in the way of good decisions on the internet?
Oh, I don't know. I'll have to go look at my list.
Well, let me give you a couple of ideas of what it might be.
Yeah.
Okay, so it could be impulse control. It could be
self-control. That's definitely it.
Self-control. So it's like this sort of, his ability to kind of go, oh, wait, the side effect of this may not be
wrong.
Wise. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Is not kicking in fast enough. And so he's doing stuff. It's like that ready, fire, aim piece of it.
Right.
Fair? Okay.
Exactly.
So for you, how does it change it to realize that it's an executive function challenge instead of him just making a bad decision?
Not a whole lot, because it's things that really could affect his life, our life, get him thrown in jail.
Yeah, so scary stuff.
You know, it's like the police aren't going to say, oh, okay, it's his executive function's lacking. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. So it feels like an emergency.
Pardon me?
So it feels like that. I mean, this is a pretty intense emergent situation, because it's a scary attack.
Well, I mean, it's just something we've been dealing with the better portion of the year, and we think we have it under control, but then it comes back up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So I want to honor Lauren's timing and do the lesson because we're going to talk about self-care today, but I want to also give you some personalized time. So are you feeling like you're at a place where this is where you want to take aim and we can park it for a little bit, or do you want to talk through it for a minute more here before we jump in?
No, that's fine. I don't want to. No, just let's proceed.
Okay. All right. Lauren, where do you want to take aim?
I would like to take aim on, you may have to help me reword things a little bit, but managing the evening bedtime more effectively.
So that's the macro area, so bedtime. So where, so I would say there's like 100 steps between the pillow and the bus stop. There's the same number of steps between, you know, whatever you're doing and getting to bed. So where specifically are the potholes at bedtime?
Well, he's 17, so I'm trying to give him the freedom to manage himself with guidance. What we've kind of agreed upon, because he drives, he and his sister, to school in the morning, and I've told him, I've explained to him to get his buy-in that it's really important to me that he gets sleep so he's not exhausted driving to school in the morning. It's a safety thing, and it's really important for me. And he understands that. We agreed you go to bed by 12:30. He gets up around 7:30. If you stay up later than that, then you don't drive to school. That's kind of what we agreed on. He's motivated by urgency. So last night at 12:27, he comes upstairs to shower, and we had talked about it before I went to bed. I said, you understand, you're supposed to go to bed at 12:30. He's like, yep, I've got it, I'm good. 12:27, I hear the shower on. He gets out of the shower a little bit after 12:30, and it's not if it's 12:30 or 12:32 that's important to me, but I need to trust that if I'm going to go to bed, he's going to go to bed too. So I go into his room, and he's chewing gum, and the TV's on downstairs, and the dog is still out, and I was like, can you brush your teeth? Can you put the dog in her crate? Can you turn off the TV? And it's like, oh, yeah. I'm so worried about getting in my room at 12:30 that he didn't do any of those other things that I see as important. And it's a regular thing. There's different ways that it happens, but he takes it down to the exact second before he has to be in bed. And my concern is just that he gets enough sleep and isn't exhausted driving in the morning. But I don't know, so it turned into this whole huge thing. So this morning I said, because I feel like he just pushes and pushes and pushes those boundaries. So I said, you're going to take the bus. I woke them both up early. I said, you're going to take the bus this morning. When you can get these things together, you can drive yourself to school. Well, obviously, he wasn't happy about that. He didn't understand. He says that I'm not respectful of his time. And it just blew up into this whole huge thing.
Yeah.
So looking back, I'm thinking maybe a different way I could have handled it would have been to say, I really appreciate you, you know, being in your room at 12:30, but here's what needs to happen. But we've talked about those things 20 million times, and I don't know. So did I answer your question?
So let me share what's coming up for me, because there's different pieces here. It's kind of like, the motivation is there to get in bed at 12:30, get in the bedroom at 12:30. And one of the challenges with this is that consequences are not necessarily designed with these kids to actually change behavior, right? So that our kids usually, consequences are not, there's nothing wrong with them, right? So it's like if we want to send a message that this is our gauntlet, this is the way we feel, this has to be, if you don't get enough sleep, you can't drive, period. But it's the consequence is not really what's going to help him to accommodate the executive function challenges he has that make it difficult for him to have everything done and be in bed by 12:30. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So there's two different pieces of it. One is, what do you do to motivate him? Which it sounds like the consequence is motivating for him. And how do you set him up for success and set realistic expectations? Right? So,
right.
So the motivation is there, and so let's separate the two. And so the question is, knowing that that's those two different pieces, where do you take aim? Do you take aim on how you handle it when it happens? Do you take aim on how to figure out what he really needs in terms of support? Do you take aim on something else?
Yes, I think all of the above. I don't know.
I'm going to challenge you to start one place, Lauren. Which is it? Is it kind of getting curious and kind of being the detective for a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely need to have a conversation about it because to see how he sees the situation. Well, he sees it as I'm being completely inflexible. If he's not in bed by 12:30, he can't drive, and that's completely inflexible. That's how he sees it. And I see it as he's pushing. You know, now he's in bed at 12:30, going to bed at 1, like, and I'm not awake
either. But the part
either,
of it but is, but the part of it is setting, so the question I have is, like, why is the rule in place? And you said it's so that you can get to sleep and you have confidence that he's actually asleep or he's actually heading to sleep. And then the other piece of it is, what does he really need in order to be successful at doing that? And it sounds like he's not at a point yet where he can do it independently because he hasn't figured out the time management to do all those things and effectively get into bed at 12:30. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. So.
So I come downstairs, like I go to bed, I wake up, the light's still on, I come downstairs, and he's like, he knows that I'll be grumpy the next day if I'm tired. He's like, go to bed, I'm good, I got it, I'm fine. Just go back to bed. And then if I come downstairs and we get in a discussion about it, he gets him all riled up, it gets me all riled up, and then nobody can go to sleep. So that option doesn't work. I tried that option.
Okay, so we know what's working and what we know is not working, right? So let's pause this, go to our lesson, talk a little bit about self-care. Maybe there's something about self-care in this context of this for you, but it sounds like where you're landing on taking aim is how to help him. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say I still don't know where I'm taking aim. So you go ahead.
Yeah, so what's coming up for me is that so that there's a long way from you walking him through and making sure he does everything and then getting him into bed and him doing it all independently. So those are
right.
That's the whole thing, the handing the baton off, right? So it's like what we want to make sure is let's roll back and see what parts of the baton he has and what parts of the baton he doesn't have, right? So yeah. It's that sort of you want to help him to become more independent in successfully getting to bed at 12:30. Is that fair? And you also
mm-hmm.
want to figure out what to do if he doesn't get to bed at 12:30.
Yes.
Okay. Those feel like two different things. I'm going to let them both sit there for a few minutes and see which way we land, if that's okay with you.
Okay, we can do two aims.
Hmm?
Can we take aim on two things?
Well, you're kind of not taking aim yet. We're just sitting on those two. Fair?
Okay, yeah. Okay.
We're going to have to spend some time kind of drilling in a little bit more, and I want to at least talk through the – you both have kind of really hot, pressing items, so we'll do some laser coaching, but I want to really just touch on this idea of self-care. And I challenge you both because you're both dealing with pretty challenging situations. both of which I happen to be dealing with right now, too, interestingly enough. But it's this sort of, let's talk about self-care. So let's go to page 15 of the workbook. Back in September, putting our oxygen mask on first. And Jennifer, you've heard me tell this story a million times, but I remember so distinctly the first time I heard this when it mattered. And I was, my son was 3 months old, born June 29th, 1999, and I got an airplane with him, and it was just him and me. And I thought, okay, well, so wait. They always say something about the oxygen mask, but I can't remember. Am I supposed to put it on my kid first? Am I supposed to put it on me first? What's the deal? And so I've listened with different ears. And I went, holy cow, you got to be kidding me. I'm supposed to put my oxygen mask on first? This is not right. I got to take care of my kid. I'm all about my kid, everything else. I got this baby. I got to take care of this. They're dependent on me. I got to focus on them. And I'll never forget Rick Green, who you guys know from Totally ADD maybe, one time was talking about the oxygen mask, and he said, if you're passed out on the airplane floor, you cannot help your kid. And it was this sort of aha moment for me where I went, okay, yeah, you're right. I can only be Superwoman so long. I have a limit as a Superwoman, and being passed out on the airplane floor is probably it. So that's the perspective shift kind of in a nutshell that we want to focus on, is that sort of if we're not taking care of ourselves, then our ability to take care of our kids is completely different. And part of that is because we're more likely to be triggered, and part of that is because we're completely overwhelmed and we're in coping mode, and part of that is because we don't know which way to turn and there's so many things to take aim on. I mean, all of those things that happen that we can handle more effectively if we are well-fed, to use a word. So at least once a year, we take a pause and kind of say, what are the things, you know, are you remembering to put your oxygen mask on first? And what are the things that really feed you? So let's pause for a second and talk about that as a group.
Diane?
Mm-hmm.
I had a question. I've thought of this several times throughout the year, but have you guys ever thought of flipping months or topics around throughout the year? Because I sometimes feel like, gosh, you know, self-care at the beginning of the school year, I can't. Whereas, like, June would be a great month. Self-care. You know, April, that's like, gosh, this seems like it would be really good for, like, Christmas or, you know what I mean?
No, I do, absolutely. And you're kind of pointing at a couple things. Is that one is that there's certain times of the year that's easier to focus on self-care. And,
right.
And you know, when we set up the calendar the way we did it very consciously. And, you know, this is the call where we're kind of wrapping up and re-kicking off. Next time we're going to talk about taking aim again, right? And we're going to have, you know, a lot of times in the fall during back to school, we have a whole new group of people that come in. But I think your question is a good one, and we always kind of look and say, okay, what's going on? But what is it about summer that makes it easier to focus on self-care?
I think because there's not much going on as far as, okay, we've got homework, we've got this, we've got, you know, we're in just at the start of Raider season, so every single weekend we're on the go, and at night we're on the go. It's just harder. I feel as though I have less time
mm-hmm.
to slow down or stop and take care of myself.
Okay, so when you notice that, so I guess the question is, if you, let's pretend we had a crystal ball. So let's say you and I had this conversation back in May at the end of school or June or whenever, right? And you had spent some time over the summer focused on self-care. How would you be approaching this busy season differently?
I don't know, maybe more like, okay, I've got this after, you know, I've taken care of myself. I don't know, maybe more of a clear-headed. More maybe clear-headed, clear-minded. You know, ready then to tackle another school year.
Okay. So, can I call you on the spot? Because I know you were here with me last September.
Okay.
So, this is something that we all, and I need the lessons just as much as everybody else, we need to learn to do this on a regular basis. And so the question is, how do you move from even thinking about it once a year to having it become part of your practice?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's where I always or always run into it, that I end up never seeming to have enough time to take care of myself or think of myself.
Mm. And it's hard, especially when it gets busy. It makes it even harder.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Hmm. Lauren, what's coming up for you?
I actually feel like I'm, I do okay in that area most of the time. For me, the big thing is sleep. And that if I don't get enough sleep, I'm just tired and grumpy and less able to deal with anything. So that's the big thing. I mean, I feel like I'm pretty good about, like, I'll go and take the dog for a walk, or I'll meditate for a little bit, or I feel like I know when I need those things, and I feel like I am pretty good about doing them, for the most part.
Mm-hmm. So when you guys, so there's a chart on page 16, we don't need to go through the full exercise. You guys have done Wheels of Life before, but the idea here is to really look at what areas of self-care are you doing great on. So it sounds like, you know, a lot of these, I think that, Lauren, you would score yourself well on, but to kind of really look at where these opportunities are. And I think that, you know, Jennifer, if you're up for the challenge, the question becomes how do you bring this into something you think about once a month or once a week or once a day? As a way to kind of get it into your life. How would that change things if you did make it a regular thing that you thought about, regardless of what action you took?
I guess, you know, I just need to be more cognizant of it. You know?
It's interesting. I was talking to a client this morning, and she has a theme for each year. It's kind of her thing, and this year was about self-care, and she was taking aim all the time, everywhere on that in the background. You know, it's that sort of, this is the one thing I want to make sure I don't forget to take aim on, even though I'm taking aim on what's going on with my kid at school and what's going on with my relationship and what's, you know, all this other stuff. But there was this kind of underlying theme of focusing on self-care. So there's lots of ways to approach this. One is to talk about it once a year and to do a little chart chart and say, okay, yeah, I'm really not getting enough sleep, and then put it on the side and go back a year later and look at it again, which is what a lot of us do. The other is to say, okay, so I want to, you know, pull this out once a month and see how I'm doing. Or to take aim on something for me each week and something for my kiddo each week. It's so easy in our space as moms, and I say moms, I'm sure there's dads listening, sorry dads, as parents to be so focused on our kid that we forget this piece of it. So, gosh, I wish we could take aim on two things at once. I would always say do one self-care thing and do one thing to, with your kid, that sort of thing. So what comes up for you as I say that?
And it makes sense. I, like I said, I just need to bring it more towards, you know, the forefront of my mind. You know, make it more important to me, I guess, what I need. You know,
go ahead.
No, I was just, you know, I think really I just need to make it more important for myself.
So the thing that's coming up for me, Jennifer, as you're talking, so you were talking about summer earlier and about how it's easier during the summer. And we all have those roller coaster moments, right? So it's like, this is easy and this is hard and this is easy and this is hard. And my instinct is that there's probably times during the week that are less stressful than others. And I wonder if you could insert this into one of those moments as part of a routine or something like that. So it's like if you always have, like I try really hard to have a really, I have a Diane Sunday morning where it's like I'm going to do what I want from the time I wake up until, you know, 12 or 1 on Sunday, and that's just my focus. You know, and because it's a low-key part of the week, and if I want to go to church, I go to church. If I want to go to the gym, I go to the gym. If I want to do nothing and drink coffee and watch an old movie, I do that. You know, it's that sort of thing. So where's an easy point in your week that you might be able to focus in on self-care on a more routine basis?
I would think it has to be during the week, because on the weekends we're just running, especially now. You know, I would just have to, you know, like let's say like Tuesdays and Thursdays. From the time I get home, well, maybe from like 6 to 9, make that my time. And
well, go ahead.
I mean, we've gotten so bad about eating dinner late, you know, just waiting to eat, and that, you know, I just, okay, I need to, you know, we're going to eat by 5:30 or whatever, or definitely by 6, and I'll do the dishes real quick, and then I'm going to spend the rest of the time on me or something.
Well, so the other piece of it is planning it, right? And so if you each day say, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do something today. What is the something I'm going to do today? And you start with baby steps, but you just say, every Tuesday or Thursday, I'm going to do something. You know, is there a time at the beginning of the day that you make that decision, or do you do it on Monday night before you go to bed? What do you think you most need to do?
I think it would have to be, you know, worked in, you know, go to bed thinking, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And just wake up preparing for it, you know, knowing in the forefront of my mind that, okay, tonight I'm doing this instead. You know, it could even be, oh, I'm going to meet a friend after
for after work for dinner. It's like, oh, okay, I'm going to go do this after dinner instead of come home. Or, I mean, it doesn't sound that great, like I don't want to come home, but, you know, otherwise I'm not going to get that time to spend with, you know, friends or just away from the house and away from the craziness.
So part of it is knowing what it is that you want to do, and part of it is making it happen, which is the
right.
Which is the piece that's going to be harder for you.
Probably making it happen.
Okay. So what are you willing to try?
Oh, I probably need to really talk to my husband and make sure that he's on board and he understands what I'm trying to do, and I'm not trying to, you know, push them aside, or that I'm trying to take care of myself. So,
yeah.
That's probably
okay.
The best first start.
Okay,
first step.
That makes sense. So, Lauren, if you're focused on sleep and sleep management, it sounds like from our earlier conversation, a big piece of what's going on for you with sleep management is the fact that your son has very different challenges in terms of getting to sleep and to bed. Is that fair?
Yes.
So if it weren't, I'm going to say this bluntly, okay? If it weren't for him, would this be an issue at all?
My lack of sleep?
Yes.
Probably not.
Okay, so and what you're saying is that the key thing, you know, large percentage of what goes on with you from a self-care perspective is because you're helping your son work on his time management around getting to bed. Fair?
Yes. He doesn't see it that way, but yes.
Yeah. Well, I think that makes sense. So it's really hard when the thing that feeds us the most is something that we have little control over. And I'm wondering kind of how much this bugs you, that your thing that you need the most is getting undermined by his challenges.
It bothers me a lot, and it bothers me that I don't think he gets enough sleep either. It's always, sleep has always been something that's really important to me, for me and for them.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
so can
it
I offer,
definitely bothers me a lot.
So can I offer a perspective shift?
Yes.
So you may have been one of the lucky ones that didn't stay up late at night when your kid was an infant. Or were you? How did you deal with the sleep problem when your kid was an infant, newborn?
You mean like when they would wake up in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
He would wake up in the middle of the night, eat, and then we would both go back to sleep.
So you had it pretty easy. You would just wake up and then you'd be able to go back to sleep again.
Yeah, I can go back to sleep again if I'm not, like, angry.
Okay. Well, I wonder if that's an aha there. So if you can find a way to help him at bedtime without getting riled up,
mm-hmm.
I wonder how easy it would be for you to go back to sleep.
Yes, I can do that.
Okay.
It's the riled up part that causes us both trouble.
Well, and so what I find is the riled up piece, personally and professionally, is because expectations have not been met.
Yes.
Is that fair in this situation? Okay. And we know that with our kiddos, that part of this is effectively setting realistic expectations. And so I guess the question is, how willing are you to consider that the expectations you have set right now are not yet realistic for him?
That's fair, but I don't know how to change them.
You don't know how to change the expectations. Okay. That makes sense, right? So it's that sort of, I know, you know, that's the piece of it. So what you're really looking at is a transition management process.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that sort of, how does he get from doing what he's doing to being in bed, ready to sleep? And there's lots and lots of executive function challenges that get in the way of that. So part of it is getting started going to bed. Part of it is knowing and remembering what all the steps are going to bed. Part of it is not getting distracted from the thing that I was doing right before I get started going to bed. Part of it is following through when I get started and not getting distracted and something in the middle of the process. Part of it is knowing how much time I have and how much time it takes the things I need to do before I go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those different pieces are challenges for your son?
I think all of them. Well, he knew, he did get himself, he got himself upstairs, and as he saw it, like, on time. He just didn't have done things that we've talked about as being important things.
Got it. So his view of, so if I asked him, he's standing here with me, and I said, did you hit the mark last night?
He would say yes, absolutely.
He'd say yes. I only took a 3-minute shower,
yep.
And I was in bed, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
He's 100%. He thinks he... And I think that's the cause of our conflict, is that he thinks he was great, and I think, oh my gosh, like, you got to get yourself together.
So there's a couple pieces to this. One is, so if he's using urgency as a motivator, he's going to wait to the last minute. And if he has time management issues, he's not going to know how to get those other things done, even if he realizes that those are part of the requirement. But my instinct here is that he may not have a clear picture of what all you mean that he needs to do, and it may not be realistic for him to do all those things completely independently. Is that fair?
Kind of, but not really. I mean, he knows every night he puts the dog in her crate. Like, that's just, he knows that needs to be done. And then he knows he's supposed to brush his teeth. Like, we're not talking a lot here. I mean, I understand for him it could be seen as a lot, but it's the same things he's supposed to do every night.
Question. So he knows it's those two things. He needs to brush his teeth, and he needs to get the dog in the crate, and he needs to turn off the lights downstairs. Is that fair? As you mentioned that earlier.
Yes.
Okay. So lights out, brush teeth, dog in crate.
But
okay.
I think he was so focused on getting up there by 12:30 that he loses sight of everything else.
Got it. So if he was going to be an extra 4 minutes late, I have no idea how long it takes to take the lights off, brush the teeth, and put the dog in the crate, somewhere between 4 minutes and 20 minutes, depending on the kid and the dog, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if he was going to, let's make up a number. How long do you think it On a good day, how long do you think it takes him to do those steps?
Probably 4 minutes, 3 or 4.
4 minutes. Okay. And on a bad day, how long does it take?
I don't know, maybe 20.
Okay.
Ish.
So if you had to choose between him getting it done and him being 15 minutes late to getting to bed, which would you choose?
It's tricky because I feel like he's always pushing those time limits with whatever it is. And I said 20. I mean, it could be 30 or 40. He doesn't really have a concept of time. So that's the reason that I'm strict about it, is because without being strict about it, I feel like he just doesn't really – time just isn't really something he is aware of.
so here's the reality of where you are. You've got a kid who has time management issues. He doesn't have any sense of what it takes to get everything done, to get to bed in time. And the consequence for not getting to bed is so significant that he would do anything to not miss it.
Mm-hmm.
So Elaine and I have been talking a lot about the difference between supporting and enabling.
Yes.
And this is a really good example, because what you really want to do is to teach your kid how to manage time and how to get to bed at a reasonable time, not how to hit the mark at 12:30. Fair?
Yes, because 12:30 is the absolute latest. I think if he's done earlier and you're tired, like, go to bed. But yes.
Well, but the piece is that one of the challenges with significant consequences is that all they do is they hit the mark. They don't actually teach the kid how to manage the executive function challenges.
Right.
And it sets them up to constantly use, oh my gosh, it's 12:30, I've got to get to bed right now, instead of going, okay, it's 11 o'clock. How many more games can I play on my Xbox before I have to start getting ready to take a shower? And what do I need to do to make sure that the dog's in his crate, and have I done that yet? And oh my gosh, I totally forgot to brush my teeth. You know, that's really what you want him to do, is to learn all of that executive function management and not hit the 12:30. Fair?
Definitely. So how do we do that?
So if you are willing, you figure out how to shift the motivation.
Okay.
And so it's a carrot, not a, so he's in, and this is a conversation, he's 17, so you have a conversation with him and say, what I notice is you're pushing the limits and you're rushing to get everything done by 12:30. And what you really want to do is to figure out, what does it take to effectively get yourself to bed at 12:30 without just going, oh shit, excuse my French, it's 12:29, I got to go to bed. And see what you have to buy in for.
I don't know that he has the capability to know that, though.
Well, and he may not yet. And so then the question is, what's your tolerance for helping him do all those other things? Or do you just, I mean, because part of this is your perspective, Lauren. It's like, if you think he's pushing it versus you know that you have a kid with really difficult time understanding the passage of time, you're going to approach it very differently. Is that fair?
Yes.
And that's what's getting to the riled up in the middle of the night. If you think he's just doing it to be a bad kid, or he's doing it because he's not paying attention to time, and it's not really that this kid has a really hard time even knowing what time it is.
Mm-hmm.
So how interested do you think he is in solving this problem, compared to how interested do you think he is in going to bed, getting in the bedroom at 12:30, 1 p.m.?
I think he would want to solve it, because it's not that pleasant for either of us.
Okay. So my challenge to you is that you move the reward to focusing on solving the problem rather than hitting the mark. If he's taking action every day to try to figure out how to make sure he hits 12:30, and you see him actively taking action, and you're talking about it on a regular basis, what worked last night, what didn't work last night, what do you want to try today? Hey, what time did you get to sleep last night? It was 1 o'clock. Okay, what's your goal? My goal is 12:30. Okay, so what do you want to try today that might make it easier, and how can I help? So it becomes, and the reward is attached to that. So as long as it's, so that instead of you can't drive the next morning if you don't, you create some other kind of motivation, which is related to engaging in the process of figuring out how to get to bed on time.
Do you have anything
about that? I think the place to start is to have a conversation with him and say, I noticed that you're really motivated to do this. And what you really need to do is to figure out how to be able to do this on your own in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to be able to say, hey, buddy, you know, you've got class at noon. You've got, you know, if you don't go to bed at 3 a.m., I'm gonna turn off your data at long distance. I mean, you could do that, but I'm not sure that that's the wisest thing. You really want him to get to a place 12 months from now, if he's going to be living independent 12 months from now, where he can go, okay, where am I at? And that might mean that sometimes he doesn't get to bed at 12:30. Mm-hmm. But so I would start with a conversation with him. I guess the question is how well framed do you feel like it is at this point?
Pretty well.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. Let me
shift to Jennifer, and the internet stuff.
Okay.
So was there anything in the conversation with Lauren that kind of stood out for you as part of what you need to focus in on, either in this situation or something else?
No, I think I just need to, you know, how important is it to me that he doesn't? I mean, it's really important. I don't want him to, you know, make decisions that's going to affect his life.
How bought in do you think he is to solving the problem?
I think he is. You know, he just keeps saying, well, you know, I've got an addiction. I need to get it, you know, I need help for it. I think he is. I just don't, he doesn't know how to proceed or how to get help.
Wow. Okay. So you've got a kid who feels like he's addicted and needs some external help. And how do you feel about that?
I don't like it, but because it's like, okay, where did I go wrong? Which I know I can't do.
Well,
my husband's telling us we didn't do anything wrong.
Well, and it's hard not to look for a root cause. I mean, that's what you do for a living, right? So it's a sort of, okay, I got to figure out how this happened, and I got to fix it.
Right.
You know, and if you woke up today with a kid with an alcohol addiction or a drug addiction or something like that, it would be easy to go, wow, how did I miss this, or why didn't I see this, whatever it is.
Right.
I guess the question is, what if you just focus on how awesome is it that he's admitting that he needs some help and helping him figure out how to get some help?
Yeah. I mean, that sounds good. I am happy that he is admitting he needs help. He has an issue. I think part of me is not hoping it would just go away, but I think lack of knowing how to proceed or where to proceed.
So how often I guess the instinct that I have here is like fix-it mode versus problem-solving mode. And this is a scary situation for you. And there's part of you that still feels like he should somehow be able to control it. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess the question is kind of parallel to what I was talking about with Lauren. It's like if you stay in problem-solving mode, what changes versus, oh my gosh, I have to fix this right now because it's a really scary situation, which is true in this instance. But if you can stay in this sort of, okay, I have to trust that everything will be okay long enough as long as we keep focusing on solving the problem, what changes for you?
I don't know if I'll... Well, I guess would make it easier to, I don't know, step back and figure out what to do.
Here's what I know about you, Jennifer. You are an intelligent, resilient, creative woman, and you have a strong support system behind you. And you may not be able to figure this out overnight, but if you panic about it, you're going to handle it completely differently than if you stay there and you stay in it, you engage and create a relationship with your son around it where you can problem solve together. You're going to handle it completely differently. Does that resonate?
Yeah.
So what do you need to trust in order to stay out of that panic mode?
That it is going to be okay, that we will be able to get him the help that's necessary. I think it's just, you know, trying to stay out of that panic mode. Because, I mean, I think I want to believe everything's going to be okay. Sometimes it's hard to really focus on it and see it, but, you know, I think we've handled worse, I guess, or handled tougher situations. You know, about different things.
That makes sense.
But, you know, it can be done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that's the piece of it that kind of, I want to come back to your self-care earlier. It's kind of like, if you are feeding yourself, your ability to stay in problem-solving mode and out of panic mode will be different.
Right.
So let's wrap up and look at our questions on page. So I'm going to challenge you guys to go back and you know, please go ahead and do the Wheel of Life exercise on page 16 if there's anything in particular that you want to focus in on in self-care. And Jennifer, I love what you brought to our attention, which is this whole sort of, there's certain times of the year that it's easier to do this. And we talk about it frequently, but figuring out how to make this a year-long exercise could be really helpful. So on page 17, what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway? What's an aha that I had? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success with this action? So take a few minutes, jot down some notes, and then I would love to hear from both of you, at least one aha and one commitment. All right, who wants to check? Who wants to go first?
I can go first.
Thanks,
my aha is that I need to solve the problem instead of hitting the mark. And my commitment is to talk to my son about it and work with him together to come up with a solution that is going to be good for both of us.
Great. Jennifer.
I gotta go get this call, so I'm going to have to bail.
Okay. All right. Will you send me an email with your checkout?
Yes.
Thank you. All right.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Great call today, Lauren. Thank you for joining us. And I'm glad you're back. And I want to challenge you to also commit to figuring out how you're going to keep this on your calendar for the next couple months.
Yes.
Are you willing to take that challenge?
I will do that, yes.
Awesome. Awesome. Great.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Okay.